Dolomite Is My Name is a new Netflix biopic about comedian Rudy Ray Moore, who created a flamboyant alter ego and became a blaxploitation legend in the 1970s.
The film stars Eddie Murphy, who's joined by a fantastic cast that includes Keegan-Michael Key, Titus Burgess, Craig Robinson, Mike Epps, and Wesley Snipes.
It's a behind-the-scenes look at the making of the 1975 cult hit Dolomite, so it's kind of a hipper, blacker, snazzier-dressed Ed Wood. And we're digging into it on NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card, you can earn 5% back at Walmart online, 2% at Walmart in-store, restaurants and travel, and 1% everywhere else. When you want all that, you need the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. What's in your wallet? Terms and exclusions apply. Capital One N.A.
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us is writer and critic Monica Castillo. Hey, Monica.
Hello there.
And in our fourth chair today, Christina Tucker of the Unfriendly Black Hotties podcast. Hi, Christina.
Hello, hello.
All right, so here, briefly, is what Dolomite Is My Name is about. We meet Rudy Ray Moore in his middle age. He's still struggling to find his voice as a musician, as a comedian. And he hears this wino, played by Ron Cephas Jones from This Is Us, incanting, really, this kind of poetry, this the legend of Dolomite, who is this figure of kind of modern urban folklore, who's got a lot of stories and jokes associated with him, and he decides to build a character around those stories and proceeds to record a lot of very filthy comedy albums that somehow lead him to make the 1975 blaxploitation classic, Dolomite. Now, Stephen, I mentioned Ed Wood in the opening because this is a movie in that tradition, a movie about the making of a cult movie.
Right. Disaster Artist.
It's another example, right? Yeah. Now, like those movies, this is a very affectionate treatment of both the main character and the movie. How'd it land on you?
It worked for me. I'm a sucker for those movies. I love Ed Wood. I really enjoyed The Disaster Artist. I enjoy watching the movies that those films are based on. I'm a fan of Ed Wood's movies. I really enjoyed The Room in its own bonzo way. And I get a kick out of Dolomite. And so, you know, the fact that this movie is made with such affection is part of what I really enjoyed about it. I do think that Dolomite Is My Name hits a lot of very familiar biopic-ish beats. Mm-hmm. It is very familiar in its structure. I appreciated that it comes with a point of view in addition to that affection. This is a movie not only about passion projects, like those other films, but it's also about the idea that Dolomite as a cult classic succeeded in giving people what they want. Mm-hmm. And this movie really kind of rides that idea in ways I found enjoyable. I got a kick out of it.
Yeah. Now, Monica, it's a kick to see Eddie Murphy on screen again. He's got some more lines in his face than perhaps last time we saw him. What'd you think?
I absolutely loved his performance. I enjoyed the movie so much. It was fun to see him feel like he really enjoyed the character and really had, like, you can see him having fun performing this piece and you then kind of get involved. And even if you may not exactly have loved Dolomite, the movie itself, or maybe not on board with some of the jokes that he tells, it's still really fun to see his delivery. Like, you can't deny him that. My one caveat that I had with the movie was that it does kind of touch on representation in a way that we're talking about it now, but I don't think existed or really, like, people had really talked about a lot at that time. So it felt a little, you know, out of the timeline in some sense. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it really does touch on, like, that need and that yearning for being able to see yourself reflected on screen.
Yeah, it does give you a sense of its power, what it represented, even though it does have characters come out and say it in dialogue.
Yes.
That feels a little clunky. You're right. Now, Eddie Murphy hasn't been around. While there's some exceptions, he's largely been under a lot of clump makeup or, you know, he's voicing a wisecracking animated donkey. Seeing him play this, and again, playing this role, which is an underdog role, which again is not the mode that we're used to seeing him in, especially if you knew a stand-up, very cocky, very self-assured, this, you just get reminded, yeah, this guy's a star. Christina, I was talking to somebody about whether or not this movie can stand on its own if you need to see Dolomite before seeing it. I think we came away thinking, you don't have to, but man, it helps. I mean, because you could watch The Disaster Artist without seeing The Room, but then why would you? What'd you
right.
think?
Yeah, I had never seen Dolomite, still have not, but I fully enjoyed it. And I think a large part of that was just watching Eddie Murphy get to luxuriate in this performance. He's clearly having a ball. He's absolutely a star to watch. I think also the costuming Ruth E. Carter, who also did Black Panther's costuming, did this. This, it just watching all of the shots of people in the clubs and people on the street, I was just thrilling and looking at all of those huge lapels and big hair and huge boots. It was a thrill.
Yeah. I mean, the look of the film, the street scenes you mentioned, the polyester, the sweat, the funk of it all.
The funk indeed.
Yeah. Now, when Chris Klimek reviewed it for NPR, he basically called it breezy but slight. And I think that's exactly the right tone to take. You couldn't make a very portentous film that ties to a say that, you know, Dolomite is a great work of cinema. But, I mean, you do get a sense of where this film slots into kind of the history of blaxploitation.
Yeah. My thing on that was neither, like, Ed Wood nor Disaster Artist are particularly serious in the way that it approaches this work. I think it knows what it was representing and what the history is tapping into. So there are moments where there's some serious conversations and some heavy topics, but for the most part, like, this is just a lively, fun time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this movie has a real understanding of stakes, right? Like, like Dolomite, like, as a solitary film viewing experience, is not a well-made movie. It is not a well-acted movie. It is not a well-choreographed movie.
Yeah. Right.
But when you see it in a theater full of people who are experiencing it exactly on its terms, surrounded by people who are enjoying it exactly on its terms, it is a joy. And this movie, in some ways, is kind of, you know, the Oscars love love letters to Hollywood. They love love letters to movie making. This is not only a love letter to making movies with passion, but it is a love letter to seeing movies in the way they were meant to be seen. In the case of the original Dolomite, that's sitting in a theater with your friends, just like feeling every rowdy beat.
Right.
But also, like I think this movie is perfectly situated for watching it on Netflix. It is a fairly slight film. Its stakes are not enormously high, but I just enjoyed it so much in my living room.
Right. Let's talk about this cast. I mean, we're seeing Wesley Snipes on screen again.
Yeah.
He's making some big choices here.
Wow, yes, he is.
Nobody is doing an impression of the actors in Dolomite. They're kind of doing this sort of absurdist riff on those characters. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I was thrilled to see Wesley Snipes. It took me a second, and I was like, is that really who I'm seeing here? But he was so fully committed and so clearly also having a ball. I think that was kind of one of the things that pulled the whole film together, was just everyone on set clearly felt like they were having a great time being there and working on this. And I think, yeah, what Steven said is absolutely true. I don't know that I would think to see this in theaters, but it's perfect for like a living room evening hang, grab some popcorn, have a laugh.
So it's funny because I did get to see this on the big screen in a full house at a festival, and it was just so much fun to laugh with a bunch of people, also laughing with on screen in certain moments where audiences are watching the actual Dolomite movie. But yeah, everyone, the entire ensemble seems to be having so much fun. I think that's one of the big takeaways. Like, I left the movie feeling happy. And you don't always get that experience on a film festival. You don't always get that experience when you just pull a random title on Netflix and like, well, let's see where this goes. And you actually, you know, get to enjoy yourself. And it was so much fun. It's kind of like reflected back.
Yeah, the Wesley Snipes performance is a really interesting one. As you said, Glenn, he's making some big acting choices. But also, you know, there's an interview with Rudy Ray Moore from 2002 in the AV Club that Nathan Rabin did. Nathan Rabin's a passionate Rudy Ray Moore fan and did this kind of long-form interview from, you know, 17 years ago. And it's amazing, like, reading that interview in conjunction with seeing this movie and seeing how clearly factually consistent it is with the story that Rudy Ray Moore has been telling for many, many years. And reading about his take on D'Urville Martin, it's very, very consistent with Wesley Snipes' performance,
right,
even though obviously there are liberties taken. I appreciate a story that I haven't seen told a million times before, even if it's told in a familiar way. I loved seeing this story play out.
I want to give a special shout out to Divine Joy Randolph,
yeah,
who is a giant of Broadway, and she's absolutely great in People of Earth. But man, she was a lot of fun here as one of the only female voices in the entire endeavor, and thus kind of represents something as well. And she's just, she can be just as filthy as he can, but there's a joyousness to their filthiness. There's a real sense of that this is a passion project, that this is something that meant something to all of them.
Yeah, and she was protective of it as well. Like, she really steps into the role of, she introduces herself at one time as like his mentee. to another character on set. And her performance is really interesting as well, because she does get to touch on a lot of the emotional notes, mm-hmm. and she brings that into the film. But it's never soapy. It never gets into, you know, we have to do this because it means so much. It still means a lot, but it doesn't override the fun that they're having.
Yeah. Now, it did spend some time talking about his comedy albums, which are in that sort of incantatory style of the poems. But it didn't really get into his status as what's been called the godfather of rap, because mm-hmm. those albums have inspired Snoop Dogg and many, many, many people. Can you speak to that, Stephen?
Yeah, this movie sticks pretty tightly to the mid-70s. It doesn't necessarily, other than the kind of obligatory card at the end that kind of explains where things go from here, you don't see him inspiring somebody who becomes a rapper. It mm-hmm. leaves that kind of to your imagination, in part in the casting of Snoop Dogg, mm-hmm. for example, as a DJ. It doesn't really feel the need to spell out for you the influence he had on a lot of rappers, because it's kind of apparent,
right.
Which I appreciated. Man, if there had been like a young Ice-T in the audience, like, hey, I can dig it. Like, that would have been so painful.
Yeah.
See, I kind of got that sense from the little kid at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
Then he explains, like, oh, I do your stand-up, but my way.
Yeah, that's true. If they said that little boy whom nobody loved grew up to be Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, I think between the casting of both Snoop and also having T.I. as that, you know, Hollywood executive mm-hmm. Kind of tied in that. Maybe in a less clunky way than having that young boy who no one loved.
One thing I wanted to mention, when The Disaster Artist came out, we had a lot of conversations about, like, where can people stream The Room? Because right. it's so important. Especially with that movie, it was crucial yeah. that you know The Room. This movie, I think, as Christina kind of indicated, it is less vital that you see Dolemite in mm-hmm. preparation for this movie. But it is available for streaming. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on a couple of different streaming sites like Tubi TV, T-U-B-I TV. And on Tubi TV, there are actually a couple of other Rudy Ray Moore movies yep. that you can catch up with. I really like knowing that these movies are still available and around in the world. They're not just like being passed around on bootleg VHS.
Yeah.
You can catch up on these things online. And if nothing else, they are passion projects.
Absolutely. He went back to the Dolemite well a lot.
He did. He did, but he also made movies like The Avenging Disco Godfather.
Sure. Sure he did. Okay, and that brings us to the end of our show. You can follow Monica at MCASTI Movies. You can find Christina Tucker at C_GraceT. Thanks to all you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. And if you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And we will see all of you Friday.
Happy Halloween, nerds. This week, don't miss a special, spooky batch of episodes from NPR's new daily science podcast, Shortwave.
We're going to talk about parasites that take over and control the brains of their hosts.
Yes.
Much like a podcaster does to their audience.
Listen and subscribe to Shortwave from NPR.